All right, everyone. Tom Powder here with
Corey Sullivan, as always.
Yeah, well, it's not as always, but you are
like 95%
You're here. And we are doing a recap of day two of Orange. We thought, overall general thoughts from you, Corey, about day two.
It was awesome. It was really great this morning. Really great just doing all the workshops. I think this is a time I love workshops, hearing a lot of diverse people, and then Orange just does a great job of finding just great speakers that aren't like the same people over and over again. And so I try to hit up different people all the time, and that worked out for me today.
Yeah, actually that worked out for me too, as we'll get into the breakouts. I loved hearing from, in fact, I think the three people I heard from today in the breakouts, I only heard from one of them in a past session, and that was even like two or 3 years ago, so that was good. Okay, so but before we get into the breakouts, though, let's go into, since today was a little bit different, the main session was in the morning.
Yeah.
And that was kind of the meat of the stuff. We kind of follow up from the theme of working together. And what did you think of the main session?
I really liked it. Doug Fields came on kind of
shaking. I loved Doug Fields. Great.
Yeah, he's always great. And just like, I could probably listen to him speak for hours and hours. And so today was really great. One of the quotes I wanted to pull up that he really like stuck out to me today was just that we is greater than I.
Yes.
And he kept kind of reiterating that. Like, how are we building the team culture, transforming organizations, everything, and not isolating ourselves as leaders, but doing things together.
Yeah, I agree. And he said, to kind of follow up on that, he said, New Testament strategy is we is greater than I. He said, you don't get to the greater places alone. You know, I mean, you just don't. You need a team together, and it's like healthy discipleship means leaders play together. And if we want discipleship, and again, in my context, we're talking about discipleship so much right now.
Yeah.
This was like hit home right, great for me. So
yeah.
So go ahead. And what else about?
Oh, well, the next thing with Doug Fields, the actual quote I wrote down was like, "Culture doesn't change because we desire to change. It changes when the organization is transformed. The culture reflects the reality of the people working together every day." And we should transform that culture by relying on one another. So that was a really cool thought that I really wanted to bring out.
Yeah, and I definitely loved hearing from Doug. And then we went from Doug to Andy Stanley.
Yeah, and that's another, and he, I think he spoke for about an hour today and just kind of really unpacked this idea of oneness, this idea of unity, talking really out of some of it out of John 17, which we've hit a couple times so far in Orange. But that we need to like set aside our differences, focus what brings us together, that Jesus like models it, he predicts it, like he's for that, and he even prays for it.
Yes. I liked it. You're right. He said Jesus modeled oneness, he predicted it, he prayed for it, he branded it. And this is what I love that he said, is kind of just wrapping up. He said the early church fought for it.
Yes,
I like that too. They fought for it. I mean, we have to fight for oneness. I mean, because as Reggie pointed out the night before, and as Andy pointed out today, like the reality is, we are so divided, not just again political differences, but theological differences, and so that was like kind of crazy.
Yeah, and just keep going back to the point of like what does unite us?
Yeah,
and sticking with that.
Yeah, I liked what Andy said, is we can't all be right, but we can all be one. And he talked about just how we can all be one. And then they closed out okay.
So one of my quotes I wanted to share with Brian Sandler, he said it was, imagine a world where people were skeptical of what we believe, but envious of how we treat one another.
Hmm.
And I just thought, like, they are already skeptical of what we believe.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, how can we make them envious of how we treat one another?
Yeah. No, I mean, the whole thing was great. And I know you've got a bunch of notes coming out tomorrow, well, when this is released.
Yeah, tomorrow morning I'll be releasing just notes from all the workshops, just some of my favorite quotes and big ideas on my blog, misfits.blog.
Yeah, so he'll definitely be hitting on that, and so you'll want to check out his blog, and I know other Orange bloggers as well are hitting on that, and they'll have lots of stuff to really unpack what Doug and Andy said, because it's really, really important.
Yeah, and then workshop started, and it was just this time, like, this is the big day for workshops and hearing all these different voices. So which one was your favorite?
You know, I like them all differently, I listened about how a smaller church can go further faster. Then I talked about how to rethink student ministry from the ground up.
Yeah.
And then I heard about social media strategy. Social media strategy, again, I'm so ingrained in social media. A lot of it was not a lot of new information, but it was cool to have it focused strictly on student ministry rather than a whole church perspective.
Yeah.
Because if any group of people understands social media and needs social media, it's student ministry.
And how to guide it.
Yes, how to guide it.
Even the draft, you know, even shows that.
Yeah.
NFL draft.
And yeah.
Sorry. Yeah. I'm a Buffalo Bills fan. I'm a little concerned.
Yeah.
We'll figure it out.
Well, my team, the Cowboys, haven't picked yet. So at the time of this recording, yeah. But again, what I think is important is we have to understand the differences on social media. Like, especially with student ministry, your target audience is not just your students, but it is your parents as well.
And engaging them in that conversation is huge for that. And I actually went to something there's a couple new voices that I really loved. It was Dr. Deborah Tillman, and she had one called Partnering with Parents in the City. And it just was amazing. It was a great workshop session. But just the idea of how are we including parents into these conversations that we're having. And a lot of it was just showing up and loving them and not just serving the kids, but serving them.
Yeah. Parents are such a vital part. And anytime when I first went into student ministry, and this is like 20 years ago, back in the late 90s, but I didn't view parents as my ally. I viewed them almost as my enemy because what I wanted to do was to create this great environment for the kids, and the parents just don't quite get it. Well, now as a father of four of my own, I see it differently, but I also saw it differently years ago too. That I needed to be incorporating parents.
And I love what Orange does for families and for parents when it says things like we need to be the allies of the parents. We need to set them up for the wins. We need to cue them up, and all these different resources for parents to win. Because I do believe that the parents are those primary spiritual influences, and if they're not, they should be. And as a church, we should get ready to make them that.
Yeah. No, that's true. Okay, one of the other ones that I really felt like was really good that I went to was about going further faster, and it was really focused about your volunteer leaders. And Andrew I'm gonna butcher his last name, but you can see the notes on ymsidekick.com. But it's Andrew Karchuk, and he actually lives up in North Dakota. And he said it's the average temperature in North Dakota is like 40 degrees.
Dude, it's always cold up there.
Dude, that's crazy.
That's worse than Rochester, New York.
Yeah, that's a little bit crazy. But he spent a lot of time focusing on volunteers. And this is one of the things I love that he said. And this isn't like a earth-shattering thing, but it is just a simple reminder that I think we outthink ourselves sometimes. He said there is no better volunteer recruitment strategy than the personal ask. No better better volunteer recruitment strategy than the personal ask. Doesn't matter how cool our flyers are or how cool our social media stuff is, when you have that personal ask of someone, one, it's hard to say no.
Yeah.
I mean, especially if they're meeting with you, Corey. I mean, it's hard to say no when they're meeting with you.
Yeah.
But it's just, like, it's so important that you can do that.
So, like, I want to develop that idea for a minute. Like, in your personal ask, you got like a tip that you always try and do, like just one thing, and maybe I'll try and give you an idea of what I try and do. But in that personal ask, what's something that you try and like call out or like speak into?
Yeah,
for that personal ask.
Well, and this is Andrew hits on this a little bit too, and I have it in my notes. But one of the things I always try to do is like at first when I started in student ministry years ago, I had one job description. This is what a volunteer leader looks like, and you need to fit this mold.
Yeah.
But as I've grown over the years, it's become less about the mold and more about, hey, who are you? What are you passionate about? What are you excited about? And how can that help me in the ministry? Because I believe that you can be a valuable asset to the ministry in just who you are. So rather than trying to stick them in a mold, I try to use their passions so that they can give to the team.
Yeah, and what I was just kind of thinking about was that oftentimes whenever asking, like the volunteers do not see themselves in that role yet.
Yes, right.
And so I think part of what I always try to do is cast a vision for like their personal talents, their gifting, their calling, their purpose, and how they can use those things to help youth.
Yeah.
In that. And then what happens is the youth ministry sucks them in and they're going to be there because they have a passion now for that, and their purpose is linked into that.
Yeah, and if you invest in them properly, they're never going
to
want to leave.
I fight for my volunteers. Like, I probably get in too much trouble.
But yes,
You got to people helping people.
Yeah, I know. But when they know that you're for them, that goes a really long way in that. So any final thoughts on other notes that you have?
I got a couple more workshops that I went to. I went to one called Be the Bridge by Latasha Morrison, which was phenomenal. It just talked about cultural differences and racial reconciliation, just what we do, just big topics and practical steps in that in our communities.
Yeah.
I think that's a big topic that the church can be at the forefront of that conversation and not be on its heels. And then I went to Josh Shipp, and I think that's a personal passion of mine, is a lot of things that Josh Shipp does and what I try and do in my ministries and how I serve youth are very connected. So he had a lot of great wisdom and just practical steps to having some great conversations with youth.
That's good. That's good. Well, and you can find all your notes at misfits.blog.
Yep.
And you can find my notes at ymsidekick.com. And you can find this podcast on iTunes or at ymsidekick.com too. So,
perfect.
All right. Well, guys, one last day. It's going to be fantastic tomorrow. We kind of wrap up with all general sessions tomorrow. No breakouts.
No breakouts, general sessions, and the Avengers. And
the Avengers. That's right.
The Avengers. We're going to try and sneak in the Avengers before the flight home.
Yes.
We'll see what we can do. But
fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. If not, like, we get home at 8 o'clock. We get home at 8 o'clock. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, we'll have to see.
So, hey, we'll catch you guys around. If you see us, say hi, and you guys rock.